Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's March the 6th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. And we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator located in Lexington. In agricultural news, the USTR is expected to ask the Senate Finance Committee today to renew TPA, that's Trade Promotion Authority. A House of Representatives committee is hearing about the big beef recall. And speaking of beef, a new suitor is in line for some of the nation's beef processing plants. The company is from Brazil. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, we'll always talk with a meteorologist. Today, Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures in the wheat pit like this at $11.14, up 18 cents. May contract at $11.25 on a settlement price, up 20, and July at $10.75, up 28. March corn futures, $5.57, unchanged today. May futures at $5.67 and a quarter, up a quarter. July at $5.79, unchanged, and December futures at $5.79 and a quarter, up 2 cents on the afternoon. March soybean futures at $14.43, down 47.5 cents today. May futures at $14.58 and three quarters, down 49 and three quarters, and July at $14.71, down 48 and a half. Nearby or rather new crop November at $13.61 and a half, and the beans down 30 cents. March bean meal at $3.67, down 8.80. May bean meal at $3.70.30, down 11.70. March bean oil $63.70, $2.85 lower. The May futures at $65.33, down 2. Live cattle futures $83.95. The settlement price for the April down 65 cents. June futures down 22 and a half at $92.10. Feeders March contract at $99.80, down $1.10. The April's at $1.22 and a half lower at $103.07 and a half. Taking a look at the outside markets for the afternoon, numbers finishing like this or trading like this now. In the crude oil futures, they made new contract highs today and are now trading at $105.45 a barrel, up 93 cents in the April futures. May contract at $104.45, is 76 cents higher. The CRB index, that's the Commodity Research Bureau index, at $414.85. down 4.90 for the day. That's 4.9 for the day. And the U.S. dollar at 73.01. That's down 0.46 for the afternoon. Dow Jones Industrial Average, 139 points lower, stands at 12,115 for the day. Nearby gold trading the March contract at $975, down $11.20 an ounce. And the April futures at $977.10, that's down $11.40. Here's what the weather forecast looks like from our own Mike Solis. He says a winter storm warning is in effect for the far southern part of Illinois and southern Indiana. That from 6 o'clock this evening until noon Saturday. A winter storm watch is in effect for the northern and central parts of Indiana from Friday morning right on through Saturday evening. Tonight, he says, in the northwestern part of Illinois, skies will be cloudy with a few widely scattered snow showers. In the southern part of Illinois and the far southern part of Indiana, it will be cloudy. Snow arriving, becoming heavy at times. Elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy. Lows will range from 8 in northwestern Illinois to 30 in the southern parts of Indiana. Friday in the southern sections, rather, in central parts of Indiana, snow heavy at times in the east central part of Illinois and northeastern Indiana. It'll be cloudy, some scattered snow showers. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy, some flurries, a chance of a few snow showers. Highs will range tomorrow from 15 in northwestern Illinois to 34. That'll happen in the far southern part of Indiana. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. On the line now with us to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural markets here on the Closing Mark Report is Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Tell me about this marketplace. Boy, it's been an interesting one. We have lots of things to discuss. Tuesday, bad down day, I suppose, in the market. And if you're watching beans, a continuation today.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you're going to see your technicians probably turn quite negative on the soybeans because the reversal down that we traced out on Tuesday after kind of a hesitation there yesterday now did ahead and follow through to the downside here today. Now, we still have one more day left, and in this type of market, we could erase today's losses fairly quickly, depending upon what happens in the overnights. But at least from a soybean chart pattern-wise, it looks like we're going to close out the week with a weekly reversal to the downside, basically climaxing 6 weeks of price strength, because this is the sixth week out of that middle January low that we saw our first limit down day back in the middle of January. So time-wise, probably all your cycle traders are going to want to call this an 8 to 9 week cycle high here this week. This is week six. So then they're going to kind of prepare or brace or position themselves for a couple weeks of price weakness and or price consolidation. So I think that's probably the first thing your technicians will probably turn bearish. Anybody that follows the technical side of the market is going to probably get quite bearish here by the end of the week if we don't see some form of recovery, Todd.
Now, this is not the first time that beans have posted, if they happen to do it, an outside down week and not actually followed through. And gone to the upside. What's the potential to do that, do you think?
Well, this is a little stronger than most what we've seen here. I guess this here is going to be a buck-something reversal to the downside. My guess is that since it is Thursday, you're going to find it kind of difficult to get much of a rally back tomorrow of anything meaningful. We may bounce back some, but my guess is with monthly RSI levels up into the 90s, the market's probably going to go ahead and trace out this weekly reversal down, and then I guess we'll kind of see what happens next week. But my guess is, you know, when you look at the fundamentals, part of the reason that we declined here today is a rising South American crop prospects. Weekly export sales are a little disappointing. Of course, that is expected as that South American harvest begins to move into the world pipeline. The other thing is I think consensus is pretty well built around the idea that we're going to see a big increase in soybean plantings here at the end of the month. So I think there's a combination of things here that I think are coming together to kind of exert some downward pressure on soybeans here for a couple weeks.
Let's take up the acreage. There are a lot of questions to follow, but let's follow up with the acreage. FAPRI releasing its numbers, they say 69.5 for the soybeans. USDA, of course, was at 71, and the Ag Outlook Forum last year was a 63.6. And I went back and looked, in the previous year, 07 was a 75.5. So what number are you working with for beans?
Well, I think they're probably, my initial reaction to Fabry's numbers are they're high on corn and low on beans.
Yeah,
we'll just have to, you know, I think at this point it's anybody's guess, but my guess is that they're high, and even USDA's number that comes out here on the 31st, you got to realize that's a guess too, or maybe I wouldn't necessarily say it's a guess, it's an estimate. They do a limited survey, And basically the planning intentions report is just to kind of point out the direction of movement, where farmers are moving toward, whether they're moving toward corn or soybeans or whatnot, and that's all I'll view that March number is. I will not view that as the Holy Gospel. Some people will try to. The trade will react to it one way or the other, at least for a week or two. But as we all know, spring weather has probably more to say about the final planning mix than anything. Intentions are one thing, but weather is the actual, whether or not they'll allow those intentions to materialize. But my guess is that corn's going to come in on the short side. Beans are going to come in on the high side as far as acreage goes at this point.
Yeah, FAPRI's number, by the way, this morning for corn was at 91.8 million acres, USDA at 90 in their outlook meeting for this year. Last year was a 93.6 million acre crop. And then the survey, which comes up at the end of this month, the Planting Intentions Report, takes up a survey of about 100,000 producers, I believe, across all 18 of the states that they took a take a look at for corn numbers. So it's a pretty in-depth survey. We'll get to that pretty soon. What do you tell producers at this point when they're looking at the back to the beans, these bean numbers and this kind of drop in the marketplace? Do they need to be taking advantage of the prices, or can they hold out yet?
Well, that depends on individual decision. And I think farmers need to look at flat prices and the rate of return per acre that they're getting out of their soybeans. My guess is most of them have made a 25% sale or more, and now they're, you know, patiently waiting to see how time plays out here before they make their next increment. For those that haven't done anything at all, I've always been a student of spacing sales out throughout the marketing year, and in this kind of market, I've always tried to get maybe upwards of 25% of my crop price prior to planting or during planting. So we are in this prior to planting or early planting season. So I guess if I was a producer that didn't have nothing on the books, these are very attractive prices, even with the decline that we've seen. When you take into account the price of beans, the percentage of decline has been fairly modest over the past few days here. And, you know, they still have to, I think, look at flat price and look at what kind of profits they have on that.
And can you give me 10 seconds on the new low in the dollar?
Well, I think that it kind of says it all. There was a shot, I think, during November, December, and early January that the dollar might be trying to find a bottom. But the economy is much softer than what everybody anticipates. And I think the longer term, I mean, I can read the dollar chart down into the low 50s. And now that is totally scary. That would be another 20 points or more down. That's not going to happen overnight. But if something like that does happen, I think you would see a lot of financial turbulence. Not only here in agricultural commodities, but worldwide stock markets.
Dan, thanks much.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Dave Dickey is here now with a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
In agricultural news, U.S. Trade Representative Susan Schwab is testifying today before the Senate Finance Committee. Schwab is outlining the Bush administration's planned trade agenda for this year and is expected to urge the committee to consider a renewal of presidential trade promotion authority so the U.S. can continue to negotiate in the Doha round of world trade talks in a meaningful way. Earlier this week, Schwab warned lawmakers that the U.S. could face an all-out trade war if it moves ahead with climate change legislation designed to encourage foreign nations to make cuts in greenhouse gas emissions. Meanwhile, the House Agricultural Appropriations Subcommittee is hearing testimony from the USDA Undersecretary for Food Safety, Richard Raymond. He is the governmental point man for the recent 143 million pounds of meat recall, some of which was delivered to the federal school lunch program. Yesterday, the Wall Street Journal reported that USDA still does not know the location of some 14 million pounds of beef. Cattle groups are expressing concern over JBS Swift's move to buy National Beef Company as well as the cattle and beef divisions of Smithfield Foods. The potential $1.4 billion purchase could make the Brazilian-based JBS the largest beef packer in the country. Last year, JBS purchased Colorado-based Smith & Company. Cattle groups are calling on Congress to immediately tighten the Packers and Stockyards Act to ban packer ownership of cattle. RCAF USA is also considering a letter to the U.S. Justice Department to block the sale. In an effort to move the Farm Bill debate forward, members of the Senate Finance Committee, who are also serving as Farm Bill conferees, have agreed on a $12 billion package of offsets to offer to the House and Bush administration. The package includes $8 billion in spending cuts and $4 billion in provisions that would increase revenue. Previously, the House and Bush administration had agreed on $10 billion in offsets. The Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute says U.S. plantings of major crops this spring will expand by 4 million acres over 2007. FRAPI puts spring planting of corn at 91.8 million acres, soybeans at 69.5 million acres, and wheat at 61.7 million acres. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is WILLAG.org. Now, up next in today's Listener Opinion Forum, Champaign County Farm Bureau's Kirk Biltis says there is a food fight ensuing in the nation's capital.
In a local elementary school cafeteria, students stand in line for their turn at the buffet of pizza, macaroni and cheese, and chicken and noodles, while other children open their brown paper sacks to find peanut butter and jelly or ham and cheese sandwich prepared by their mother just a few hours earlier. As teachers chaperone, the school bully flings mashed potatoes to a neighboring table and yells for a food fight. Travel with me to our nation's capital, where another food fight is taking place on Capitol Hill. Here, our locally elected officials and staff members have drafted, discussed, and amended various forms of the 2007 Farm Bill. With the previous bill's expiration nearly 6 months past, our congressmen and women continue to jockey, searching for the best possible bill that will not only garner the signature of the president, but support from the citizens of which its regulations directly affect. This food fight couldn't have come at a more interesting time in our country. Food prices continue to rise, as fuel prices show few signs of dropping. Yet, the false public perception of the Farm Bill continues to paint agriculture as the angry lunch lady. In the eyes of some, we continue to grow more and more crops, gaining more and more income. Yet, this large Farm Bill continues to take our nation's finances and spend them on an industry which benefits only a small percentage of our country's population. Taking a closer look at this year's Farm Bill, line for line, you may notice something suspicious about the Farm, Nutrition, and Bioenergy Act of 2007. Much of the money allocated in the $286 billion five-year budget goes directly to food and nutritional programming. In fact, over 60%, or nearly $190 billion of all monies, go to this line item, providing world hunger relief, school lunch programs, and the like. Yes, more than 60% of monies go not to farm subsidies, but to food, affecting all Americans, not just those who grow it. Only 15% of the bill goes to the commodities title of the Farm Bill, providing subsidies and various other programs for our country's farmers. Other investments have been made in trade, technology, and renewable energy, not to mention historic increases in funding for conservation. This year's Farm Bill has caused controversy and debate, and it seems that there is no end in sight. We ask that you take a closer look at the Farm Bill. With well over half of all funding earmarked for nutrition, we must trust that the priority of our elected officials, and we as producers and industry leaders, is to continue to supply the world with a safe and reliable food source. For the Champaign County Farm Bureau, I'm Kirk Bilta.
Kirk Bilta's comments are his own. They reflect his opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, just give us a call. The number is 217-333-0850. Now, if you'd like to learn more about what Bilta calls the Washington food fight over the Farm Bill, you can stop by the Champaign County Farm Bureau tomorrow morning at 7:15 a.m. Central for breakfast. That'll cost you about $10. But you'll get to eat and then hear a panel of experts take up the agricultural side of this issue. They include current farm policy instructor and former Illinois Farm Bureau President Ron Warfield, U of I farm policy expert Bob Thompson, and Kevin Johnson of the 15th District Representative Tim Johnson's office. Again, the cost is $10 for the breakfast and the food fight. It starts at 7:15 tomorrow morning on the west side of Champaign at the Champaign County Farm Bureau.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Bill Mayer of Rochag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joins us on a Thursday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market. Hi, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about these basis-only contracts that are being offered to farmers rather than sales, I guess, after the month of May. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, what we're seeing here is we're seeing every day, it seems like, more elevators going to where they're not putting out a flat price bid after some certain period of time, either for the summer, next fall, or the 09 crop. And it's, I mean, the result is, and we discussed this over the all-day outlook, which I thought was a excellent subject, and Larry Wood did a good job of explaining some of the details of that. But just without getting into a lot of the details, we've got large crops. We've had, you know, big crops here the last few years. We've got high prices, double or triple the price levels, and that takes a lot more money to be able to finance contracts in this situation with large crops and higher prices. And it, as we talked about on Commodity Week several months ago, the management of your capital is important, and we're just seeing companies say, I think the best use of my capital is not necessarily to margin these big positions that I'm not going to be able to turn into cash for 8 months or so, and that's really what's happening. The farmer needs to figure out, how do I lock in prices if I can't go out to my buyer and sell the cash grain?
Thanks much, Bill. We're out of time. That's Bill Mayer. He's with Rochag Marketing in Lexington, Illinois.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. A county sheriff says a three-county drug task force would lose a significant chunk of its revenue if Congress doesn't pass additional funding. The East Central Illinois Task Force was among those conducting drug-related arrest sweeps yesterday to draw attention to their concerns. Coles County Sheriff Darrell Cox says the proposed federal budget includes a $74,000 cut in the task force, which conducts undercover operations in Coles, Douglas, and Moultrie counties. He says it could mean the loss of two officers dedicated to drug enforcement. 17 people with outstanding warrants were arrested in yesterday's sweep. The trial of campaign fundraiser Tony Rezko has begun. The prosecution told a federal jury this morning that Rezko violated the trust that people put into Illinois' political system by shaking down companies wanting to do business with two big-money state boards. The opening statement made several references to one of Rezko's biggest campaign cash recipients, Governor Rod Blagojevich, but another recipient, Senator Barack Obama, was not mentioned. Neither officeholder is accused of wrongdoing. Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan has issued subpoenas to two mortgage companies to investigate whether black and Latino borrowers were unfairly steered to some loans. Madigan is seeking a variety of information from Countrywide Home Loans and Wells Fargo Financial Illinois on loans that they sold in the state. She's asking them to provide details on everything from borrowers' race and ethnicity to information on their creditworthiness. Madigan says the action comes after a Chicago Reporter story on high-cost home loans in Chicago. The companies didn't immediately return calls for comment. A judge in McLean County says he'll allow medical records to be used in the case against a former Bloomington pastor accused of choking and threatening to kill his former wife. Defendant Ted Pierce says the medication he was on instigated his violent behavior. Officials with Exelon have a plan for dismantling the Zion nuclear plant in far northern Illinois. It's up for discussion during a public forum today. Exelon says it could take up to 10 years to return the site along Lake Michigan to its natural state. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason. WILL Closing Mark Report is what you're listening to. And we're on the line this afternoon with Pete Levitt. He's a meteorologist out of Massachusetts to take a look at the agriculture weather forecast with us. Hi, Pete.
Hi, Todd.
Tell me a little bit, Pete, about what you see in the marketplace for the weather over the next week or so.
Well, we have a storm system today developing over the northern Gulf of Mexico, but most of the precipitation of interest is back in Texas and West Texas coming up through Oklahoma. It's snow in the western part of that precip belt. Farther east, it'll be moderate to heavy rain changing to snow. That band of snow is going to move northeastward. And of interest to the listeners, of course, is where is the snow going to go? It looks like it'll cut across southeastern Illinois tomorrow and tomorrow night, and then move on through most of the eastern portions of the Midwest, Indiana and Ohio. But I think most of the western Corn Belt states, that would be the balance of Illinois, Iowa, back in Nebraska, southern Minnesota, they'll all stay clear of this storm. Instead of getting the storm, they're going to get some pretty cold weather, some temperatures ranging 15 to maybe 20 degrees below normal tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, before we see a warm-up next week. And as far as precipitation is concerned for this whole region and the central and western Corn Belt, after the storm in the east, it looks like pretty dry weather, not much in the way of precipitation, maybe a few scattered showers once in a while, snow flurries in the west as the cold air moves in. So that's the weather picture. It's not a wet one. It's a windy and it's a cold one, though.
I suggested the weather as a marketplace, and indeed harvest is taking place in South America, and that is having some pressure on the soybean prices in Chicago. Are they doing well?
Yeah, what's happened is they're harvesting in, up north in the northern areas, which had abundant moisture for much of the season, and then it's dried out in time now for them to get this harvest going and underway. Meanwhile, the moisture has shifted southward, where the crop is still blooming and setting pods, and so down there they needed that moisture. So all in all, the Brazil soybean outlook looks pretty favorable right now in terms of the way the weather is breaking for them. They were a little concerned about excess moisture in the northern and the west central southern growing areas of Brazil, but that's apparently cleared up as the showery areas move south. And if you go farther south into the Argentine, the precipitation has been spasmodic. They had some wet spells and dry spells, but all in all, it added up to a fairly decent amount, and I don't see any problems down there.
And then if you take a look for other parts of the globe that we might be of interest to us?
Well, you know, Australia's had a couple of bad years in a row, and now with the La Nina pattern, they're having a good year, and they just had some more showers in eastern Australia to put the finishing touches on what's been a pretty good season all around for summer crops there, with moisture, which is their big bugaboo down there, not getting enough usually. Now they've had enough in most areas. I think they're going to see quite a rebound in the Australian crop.
Thanks much, Pete.
My pleasure.
Pete Levitt, meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Thursday afternoon. That's the report. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Lernard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.